Welcome to Food for Thought. My name is Colleen Patrick-Goudreau from Compassionate Cooks. I founded Compassionate Cooks to empower people to make informed food choices and to debunk myths about vegetarianism and animal rights. You can learn more about who we are and what we do by visiting our website, CompassionateCooks.com. Hi, everybody. I feel like I've been here before. I have only done this a couple times, but today I did it again. I inadvertently somehow deleted the episode I recorded and edited and spent several hours on. And I don't know how I deleted it, but it's gone. And here I am recording again. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. You better enjoy this episode because I'm doing it a second time and it's a long one. So anyway, it was a pleasure to be here. It was a pleasure to be here when I did it the first time. It's a pleasure to be here again, and I'll get over it. So one of the things I had said in the original episode was that I encourage you to visit CompassionateCooksCommunity.com to connect with other podcast listeners. And I also mentioned that I have a new video on my website where I demonstrate my garlic and green soup. So if you'd like to, you can visit CompassionateCooks.com, and the video is on the main recipes page. And by the way, it's also on YouTube. And you know, when you rate a video on YouTube and add comments, it really shows up higher in the search results. So please don't hesitate to go find the video. You can just type in Compassionate Cooks or Colleen Patrick-Goudreau in YouTube, and you'll see this new video up there as well. So that's just an idea. I'd like to thank today's listeners' sponsors. First, we have Barbara Piechoczynska in Sweden. I wrote to Barbara to ask her how to pronounce her name, and she sent me a little video of her pronouncing her name. It was very sweet. So thank you, Barbara. You're very lovely. Barbara wrote to me when she first sponsored the podcast, and she wrote, "Thank you for the work you do. Like with no doubt countless other vegans, you keep me inspired. Listening to your podcast puts me in contact with my heart and the values I aspire towards. It helps me visualize a world where veganism is the norm. I believe in your message and in your inspirational way of sharing it. There is great power behind it. Thank you for doing what you do." Thank you, Barbara. That means a lot to me. I really appreciate it. Our second listener sponsor is Norma Safford Vela, who sent me the following email when she sponsored. She wrote, "I write because I've just sponsored a podcast and wanted to ask you to thank my daughter rather than me. Bernadette Vela is her name. She found your website and has introduced you to me and to many others. I also wanted to thank you for just being a gift to both of us. We're going through a tough time emotionally, divorce after a 29-year marriage, not my idea, and the death of my father. Bernadette's response to the randomness of changes in her life was to become vegan. With your wonderful help, she has found a new passion, a new focus, and we're both now far, far more healthy. On the fun side, I've lost 14 pounds, and at 54 have never felt better. The education you offer arms us both so that we're able to speak our truth and sound like we actually know what we're talking about. I recently had to travel and therefore eat in restaurants with groups of people. It became a game for me to find a vegan meal, and I was given many opportunities to live my truth and talk about my choice. Most of the time, people looked at my plate and said, 'Wow, your dinner looks really good.' My fabulous daughter also feels better, looks better, and is able to handle the incredible stress of her first year of college with greater ease. She has a positive focus thanks to you and your message. Who would have guessed that changing our diet would have eased our emotional path? Thank you again from both of us." That is just, it's such incredible stuff. It is just such validation about how deep this stuff goes. This is not about eating lettuce. It's about so much more than that. And I'm so very grateful to have the opportunity to spread this message far and wide. That's certainly my intention. And you can help me do that. All of you who listen to the podcast and spread the word about the podcast and sponsor the podcast, make it possible So thank you to Barbara and Norma and Bernadette for helping give me this opportunity. If you would like to be part of this work, if you'd like to help me spread this word, please consider sponsoring the podcast either as a monthly sponsor or as a one-time sponsor, and you can be a one-time sponsor more than once. I couldn't do this work without you, and I do this work because of you. So thank you for your support. You can visit CompassionateCooks.com and click on Support Our Podcast. Thank you. After many requests for this episode, it's something I've been wanting to do for a long time. It's finally here. Today, I'd like to talk about taking food on the road with us, whether we're packing lunches for school for our children, or we're teenagers and we're packing it ourselves, or we're packing our partner's lunch for the day or our own lunch for the day. If we're working outside, something that a lot of people do, gardeners or carpenters or deck builders or landscapers, we also might find ourselves on a road trip and need to pack for the car or the plane or the train, if anybody takes trains anymore. We may also go on picnics, or we just may be college students who need quick and easy meals on the go. So that's why I'm doing today's episode. There are endless options for meals in general, but what I am going to focus on today are quick and easy options for packing up food. And when I think about what people normally bring on the road with them, especially people who work outside, I think sandwiches. So first, what I'm going to do is offer a number of suggestions for sandwiches. There are plenty of satisfying and easy and filling options and in the form of sandwiches, and also in the form of one-dish meals or salads. And when I say salads today, I'm not referring to those big, wonderful green salads, which are fantastic, and please do include them in your diet. What I'm talking about today is bean salads and grain salads and pasta salads and noodle salads, tofu salads and tempeh salads and vegetable salads. So there's a lot more to salads than just green leafy salads, but you can find some certainly on the Greens, Glorious Greens episode. We did talk about some of those wonderful salads, wonderful dishes. Also, I want to encourage you to think beyond how most of us were taught to eat. In this culture, in the Western culture, the idea of eating three meals a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, became sacred. I don't know when it became sacred, but it became sacred. But it doesn't necessarily work for everyone. Unfortunately, instead of questioning this paradigm and thinking, maybe we're not meant to have three meals a day, instead of questioning that, many people think there's something wrong with them. If they're hungry, you know, a few hours after they've had lunch or a few hours before dinner, instead of questioning, well, maybe we don't have to have three meals a day. And what happens a lot, too, is people who transition to becoming vegan, they are eating a more whole foods-based diet, hopefully. They're eating foods that are less calorie-dense. And what happens is often they're hungry after eating what looks like the equivalent amount of food that you ate when you were eating meat, dairy, and eggs, but you might still be hungry. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that the foods are a lot less calorie dense. So instead of realizing that you need to shift your habits, you blame veganism for being, you know, for making you hungry. And that's pretty common. But I've said this in another episode. First of all, if you're hungry, eat. Don't worry about the fact that you're not eating at what's considered mealtime. Don't let anyone tell you that you're doing something wrong because you want to eat, quote unquote, between meals. That's ridiculous. If it works for you to eat three meals a day, fine. If it doesn't, fine. But whatever choices you do make about how you eat and when you eat, how often you eat, I do encourage you to make whole foods the foundation of your diet. Some of the things I'll recommend in this episode will include non-whole foods like pretzels and snacks that people can bring on the road with them, but as much as possible, reach for whole foods. For people who are looking to lose weight, that's something that's really going to help them. If they're snacking between, you know, if they're snacking quote unquote between meals, it's fine to snack on, you know, low calorie foods. But if you're hungry or you're feeling lightheaded or you're feeling like your blood sugar is getting low, then just eat. That's really going to take care of all of those problems. Now, related to that, something I want to share about how I eat. This is just my own experience, and it really works for me. I am a creature of habit, and I admit it freely. I have to have breakfast at the same time every day, lunch at the same time every day, and dinner at the same time. All of my friends know that if I don't have dinner by 6 o'clock or 6:30, you don't want to be around me. Everybody knows that I have to eat at that time. And, I'll snack on something if we have to have a late dinner. But I can't stand having late dinners. I'd never make it in like Europe or anything like that because I have to eat at 6 o'clock. And what that means for me is that I don't have a lot of X factors in terms of my mood. Like a baby, like an infant, when they're crying or cranky, they're either hungry or they're tired or they need their diapers changed, but that doesn't translate well into adulthood. So my point is that if we keep our eating habits somewhat predictable, we can very easily pinpoint exactly what's going on with us. And I don't think I ever feel cranky without knowing exactly why. And that really works for me. I don't like being out of control. I like to know what's going on. So it's just something that works for me, and it might be something to keep in mind. So those are just some things to keep in mind. Now let's get to the practical aspects of this. Let's start with sandwiches, ideas for sandwiches and wraps. Now, sandwiches are a no-brainer. They're quick, they're easy, they're familiar, they're filling, and they're compact, and they're easily transportable in something like little food storage containers that are the size of a typical sandwich. Great way to transport sandwiches, and of course, it creates no waste, which is fantastic. The other thing I think is great for taking food on the road is investing in a good bag. It doesn't even cost that much. It's not really even an investment, but investing in some kind of insulated cooler bag, which is something we have and we take it on picnics with us or taking on the road for road trips. There are some in my Amazon store, so take a peek at compassionatecooks.com. You can also take a canvas bag to work. I mean, whatever works for you is fine, but I think it helps, especially if you're eating outside and you can't keep your lunch in a refrigerator. Now, the first sandwich I want to recommend, I'm going to kind of do this in lists of 10. The first sandwich I want to recommend is the old standby, peanut butter and jelly. So don't diss the peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I don't care how old you are, it's a great sandwich to include in your rotation. It's nutritious, it's fast, it's easy, and it's inexpensive. So you've got your peanut butter with jelly, or you can use almond butter or cashew butter. You can add a few apple slices or banana slices or even grated carrots, which will add some crunch. You can spread the nut butter on a tortilla. You can top that with sliced banana, roll it up, and eat it up. Or you can even spread peanut butter on something like collard greens, like a big old collard green leaf, spread on some peanut butter or almond butter or cashew butter, and dot some banana slices and some raisins, roll it up, and you can even cut it up into little pieces, into little bite-sized pieces, or just eat it like that. It's a great snack. It's a really good snack for on the go or anytime. You can also use other butters like apple butter, which is a great sandwich spread, and it's delicious, and it's something you can either make from scratch or buy in the store. You'd find it probably more likely at a little gourmet grocery store or in the autumn when you're going apple picking or pumpkin picking. You could find it at one of those places. Also, speaking of pumpkins, you can also get pumpkin butter, which is another favorite of mine. And both of these things are great for toast or a bagel. The pumpkin butter is really great for spreading on muffins, as is the apple butter. And it's also a good dip. The pumpkin butter is really a fun dip, but that's a different episode altogether. Party food is something we'll have to do another time. Now, speaking of familiar sandwich filling, so that was number one. You got your nut butter and jelly. Number two, lunch meats, the deli meats that most of us grew up on, I certainly grew up on. There are so many wonderful vegetarian deli meats that you can get instead. There's Yves, Yves, a Canadian company with reach all over North America and possibly beyond. It's spelled Yves, and they make vegetarian ham, turkey, bologna, salami, and pepperoni. You've also got Tofurky, which makes deli, I almost said devil slices. They don't make devil slices, they make deli slices. And they focus on turkey, but in a number of different flavors. And I've seen these things all over the place. So check not only your local natural food store, but even your regular grocery store. I've seen them there as well. My favorite, which you'll hear me talk about a lot, and you've heard me talk about before, is Field Roast. Their deli slices are so incredibly delicious. I cannot say enough about them. They come in three different flavors: lentil sage, wild mushroom, and smoked tomato. And what's wonderful about Field Roast, you hear me talking all the time about whole foods, recognizing ingredients, eating real food. And that's what Field Roast focuses on. You can go to fieldroast.com and check out everything they have. You can look at the ingredients list yourself. They base their product line on wheat, calling it flesh of the earth, which I love because flesh of the earth is basically plant foods. And you can see all of the wonderful ingredients in all of the different products they have. It's so delicious. So check out fieldroast.com and check out their deli slices. And of course, with this kind of sandwich, you can just add tomato slices, shredded lettuce, pickles, whatever you'd normally put on your sandwiches. Of course, eggless mayonnaise, such as mayonnaise or veggies or Wildwood's garlic aioli, or mustard or relish or ketchup, whatever plant-based spreads you like. So that's number two, your deli slices, your deli sandwiches. Now, what I want to say for number three is basically a BLT, right? So your bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich, but instead of using pigs, because you don't want to do that, we would use vegetarian bacon. You can buy vegetarian bacon in the grocery store. There's certainly veggie bacon out there, but you can also make your own bacon. I have a wonderful recipe for tempeh bacon or tofu bacon. You can also use Field Roast's cutlets. They have cutlets. We'll talk about those a little later on. And they also have meatloaf. So you can use the Field Roast meatloaf for their celebration roast also. And you can slice that up and put that on a sandwich, which is, like a BLT with, tomato and lettuce. Now I'm going to get to the tempeh bacon because I know y'all going to write to me if I talk about tempeh bacon and don't give you the recipe. I gave you a recipe in another episode for caramelized tempeh, and this recipe for the tempeh bacon is pretty similar. So basically, you've got your tempeh, and I always encourage you to steam tempeh before using it for anything else. So you've got your little tempeh block. Slice up your tempeh into little strips. Steam it. 10 minutes, doesn't take long. Heat up a little olive oil or canola oil in a saute pan and start frying up the already steamed tempeh, getting it nice and golden brown on one side. Flip the slices over, drizzle on some tamari soy sauce, some maple syrup, and some liquid smoke over the slices, and let that other side get brown. And then you can, flip them again or just drizzle a little bit more on of each. A little liquid smoke goes a long way, so just taste it first to see if you need any more. But it's really fast, really delicious, and you've got your tempeh bacon, which you can use as a side for breakfast or you can use as a sandwich filling, like in something like a BLT. It's fantastic. And you can do the same thing with tofu, though you don't need to steam it first. Now, number four. This is just kind of a general tip. Any sandwich you make can benefit from hummus being a spread. You can certainly buy store-bought hummus, which will be a little more expensive than if you make it yourself. I have a standby hummus recipe in my 30-minute meals one recipe packet. I think it's called Quickie Quesadillas or No Queso Quesadillas, and it's really fast and really easy and a lot less expensive than the commercial hummus you buy. But if time is more precious to you, more valuable to you, then certainly buy it. It doesn't take much to make it from scratch though, but it's a great sandwich spread. Instead of using something like eggless mayonnaise, you can use hummus for any sandwich. You can add the, veggie deli slices that I mentioned with the tomatoes and cucumber and lettuce, and then some sprouts and some hummus, and it's really fantastic. Number five is something similar to what I just mentioned. I have a sandwich I've been making for years. I call it the sloppy call, instead of sloppy Joe. So instead of sandwich bread, for the sloppy call, I recommend a nice thick Italian bread or Italian rolls. Spread on that hummus and some avocado, or instead of the hummus, you can use the avocado. Add roasted red peppers, alfalfa sprouts, arugula, or any lettuce you prefer, shredded carrots, shredded beets, whatever else you want, and there's your sloppy call. It's really fast and it's really colorful. It's essentially a sub sandwich, which is really easy to make yourself. But if you're on the road and you come across a deli, or you have a favorite deli in your town, or even a place like Subway, a chain deli place, you can have them put together a delicious sub for you without the meat. You can just look in the case and all of the vegetables that they have, tell them which ones you want, make a delicious sandwich, add the mustard and the pickles and the avocado and oil and vinegar, and ask them to make a great sandwich for you. The other thing you can do if you want to be really clever is that you can bring your own Field Roast deli slices. Hello to any deli and ask them to make a sandwich with those deli slices. Leave some for them so they can taste them and they can see how good they are. Ask them to carry them, help put them in touch with that company, fieldroast.com. You can certainly ask them the best way to do this. And that way, whenever you go to that deli, if it's your favorite deli, you'll find something to eat. And it opens this up to other people who would actually choose that if they knew it was available to them. So talk to your local sandwich shop and do this also with pizza. You know, cheeseless pizza is fantastic. Calling any pizza store and asking them to make a pizza for you with just the sauce and vegetables is really easy to do. But you can also bring them something like Follow Your Heart cheese, ask them to shred it. You could even shred it for them and ask them to make a pizza for you with the Follow Your Heart cheese or any non-dairy cheese that you like. So don't underestimate the power of you as a consumer. They'll want to accommodate you and they'll be happy to know about products they may not have been aware of. Okay. So number six, you can make a panini from something like I just mentioned. There's a delicious panini in my new cookbook. I might as well tell you about my new cookbook very quickly. The new cookbook is called The Vegan Table. It will be out in 2009 in the spring, hopefully early spring. And it's called The Vegan Table, 200 Unforgettable Recipes for Entertaining Every Guest at Every Occasion. So it covers all of the different types of holidays and celebrations. There are cozy romantic dinners for two, casual dinners for four to six, formal dinners for six to 10, standing parties, Super Bowl parties, everything you can imagine. And I'm really excited about it. And I think you'll like it too. So it's mostly savory recipes. There are a few new desserts in there, but if you want desserts, just get The Joy of Vegan Baking. This panini is in my new cookbook. It's pretty similar to what I just said, all of those wonderful vegetables, and you can use sliced artichokes, and you don't need a panini maker. If you have one, use it, but you can use something like a countertop electric grill, like a George Foreman grill, which works really well. So you make your sandwich, you stick it in your panini grill or the George Foreman grill, you press down the lid, you get the bread nice and crisp, and voila, you've got a fantastic panini. Burritos are great to take on the road. Burritos are number seven. You can easily make one or two burritos in the morning before leaving for work, roll up the tortilla with some beans, black beans, pinto beans, vegetarian refried beans, whatever you prefer. Wrap it in a tortilla with some salsa, some avocado, shredded lettuce, some non-dairy sour cream, guacamole if you're not using the avocado. Roll it up, wrap it up, carry it out the door. It's fantastic. And you can also just bring some Tupperware or a bento box with all the fixings, all the components, and then put it together when you're ready to eat. But burritos tend to hold up well for a few hours. The tortillas can really take it. They don't tend to get soggy too easily. So don't worry so much about that. But it's just an option. You can kind of keep it all separate until you want to put it together at lunchtime. Number seven is lettuce wraps. Something pretty similar to that. Frankly, you can do all of that I just named. And instead of the tortilla, you can use lettuce. And if you get butter lettuce, it's really great for these little cups, like the butter lettuce kind of forms these little cups. So you can do that and use any kind of filling. But there's also something I have called Thai-inspired lettuce wraps in the new cookbook as well. It's basically sauteed tofu with some spices and finely chopped vegetables like mushrooms and peppers. And then you assemble it at the site. You know, it's not something you want to assemble beforehand. And you put the filling in the lettuce cups, and that's how you eat it. It's Thai, Vietnamese inspired. Put some peanuts on, some scallions, or peanut sauce, or chili sauce, whatever you like. And it's a really nice, really refreshing, really healthful lunch or dinner or snack. And I like it for picnics. I think it's really great to take on the road because you can, again, put all of the ingredients in their own little containers and then assemble it when you're ready to eat. Number eight is Sloppy Joe's. We've got our Sloppy Call, and now we've got our Sloppy Joe's. And this is also super easy. You can use tofu as your base, or beans, or tempeh. I have a Sloppy Joe recipe in one of the recipe packets on the website. So it's just steamed tempeh. After you steam it, mash it up, or you cube it up, add some, put it in some tomato sauce in a saucepan, add some spices, and that's it. I mean, that's really all. Kind of let the tempeh soak up some of the tomato sauce, and then keep it separate and put it on your roll when you're ready to eat. It's so fantastic, and it's so much more humane than anything made with ground up animals. So eat your tempeh Sloppy Joes. So that was number eight. Number nine is another great sandwich idea, or just you can eat them plain, is portobello mushrooms make such fantastic sandwich items. I love portobello mushrooms, and I do have a marinated mushroom, portobello mushroom on the site somewhere. Basically, I marinate the portobello mushrooms for about a half hour. You can do it for longer if you like, but you use some tamari soy sauce and some fresh herbs like sage and tarragon and basil. And then I just saute the mushrooms in a little bit of olive oil until they're tender and easily pierced with a fork. Doesn't take very long, 5 minutes or so. And you can find that recipe in the Hearty Italian recipe packet if you want it specific, but just put it on some nice bread. I would, again, kind of keep it separate if you're going to put it on a roll. You don't want it to get too soggy. And you've got a great sandwich. Your hummus would be a great spread. Avocado is a great spread for that. The eggless mayonnaise is a great spread for the portobello mushroom sandwich. Now, finally, number 10, in terms of sandwiches, what about a veggie burger, right? I mean, it doesn't have to be piping hot when you eat the veggie burger. Veggie burgers travel really well, and veggie burgers are already cooked. You know, it's not like meat. The veggie burgers are all already cooked. When you are quote unquote cooking them, when you bring them home from the store, you're really just heating them up. Now, so you can heat them up before you go to work, or before you go on the road or whatever, just to kind of get them crisp or what have you. And then when you are ready to eat lunch or whatever it is you're doing, then you can put it all together and have it then. And you can have your lettuce and your sliced tomato and your cucumber or eggless mayonnaise or whatever you want to put on your veggie burger. One of my favorite veggie burgers are Dr. Prager's. I don't know if you've seen Dr. Prager's. I've seen them in Trader Joe's and my local grocery. I don't know if I've talked about them before. Really good burgers. They're made from whole ingredients. They're made from oats and whole vegetables, and they're really delicious. My favorite is the Dr. Prager's Southwestern burger. The only problem I have with Dr. Prager is the packaging is so bad. It's just, if they were asking me, I would tell them that they should do it differently. So they're burger's really good, but I think they're making a mistake with both the name and the packaging, but nobody did ask me. My other favorite burger is, you know how I feel about Wildwood. Wildwood Southwestern or their shiitake mushroom burger is fantastic. Heat them up before you go and take them out the door. Again, you can use the cutlets from Field Roast, or hello, Field Roast has these amazing sausages. Their sausages are so good. They have Italian sausage and Mexican chipotle sausage and smoked apple sausage. All familiar ingredients, all whole food, real food. One of the things I love about Field Roast is that we are on the same page about taking back the language. You hear me talk about this a lot. You hear me talk about taking back words such as milk. The dairy industry does not own the word milk. I don't want people to shy away from that and call plant-based milk fake milk or substitute milk or something like that. It's not. It's real food. And the same goes for meat. I have talked in the past about the fact that the word meat originally referred to anything that was not a beverage. It was a general term for anything eaten and not drunk. So that's why you will never hear me say fake meat. You will never hear me say faux meat or meat analogs or artificial meat or meat substitutes. I hate those words. The food I recommend, there's nothing fake about it. It's real food. I recommend people eat real food, nothing fake. And this is why Field Roast refers to their foods as grain meat and flesh of the earth, as I mentioned before. Let me read a little bit off of the Field Roast blog. This is from David Lee, who is the founder of Field Roast. He wrote, "We want people to not have to choose between something that is real and something that is fake. By not labeling ourselves fake meat and instead calling ourselves grain meat, we at Field Roast are trying to reclaim a word, reclaim an association, a lifestyle. We know that the very term itself, meat, is a highly charged one, and that's why we like to use it. We like to challenge the idea that our proteins have to come from an animal source. If we were to label our foods fake bacon, fake turkey, fake beef, etc., then we are really just buying into the idea that we need to consume those animals in our diets in some form or another." And he also has a quote from in a recent Seattle Times article about their company. They're based in Seattle, Washington. This is what David says. Again, we embrace our meat culture. Meat means solid food. Don't you love that? I love that. Thank you, David. And this is also from the article. This is from the person writing the article, says he insists on calling field roast products meat in an attempt to reclaim a word that is often used for animal muscle, but can also apply to nut meats, coconut meat, and in field roast case, grain and vegetable meat. Oh, love that. I love that so much. I love that. I love that so much. So please check out fieldroast.com. The cutlets I mentioned, they have breaded cutlets ranging from sunflower country style cutlet, chipotle corn cutlet, porcini Dijon cutlet, coconut breaded cutlet, hazelnut herb cutlet. Check them out, fieldroast.com. Now, finishing up our section on sandwiches. One of the things I'm going to do on my website, and I'll have this on my website, is I'm going to have a little chart, okay? And this is something you can print out, put in your kitchen, put on your refrigerator. I think it's really helpful to have these things printed out so you can see them and you don't have to think. I've done all the thinking for you. So what it will be is there's going to be columns, right? So you've got your first column, bread. Pick your bread. English muffin, bagel, Italian loaf, or baguette, or lavash, or pita, or hamburger buns, or tortillas, or rice cakes, right? Whatever your bread is, that will be in the first column. Your second column is going to be the filling, whatever filling you want. So I mentioned a bunch above, your roasted red peppers, mushrooms, eggless egg salad, falafel burgers. I've got a great falafel burger recipe on my website. So that's your filling, okay? And then your spread will be in the third column, the avocado, the baba ganoush, the hummus, the agave nectar, right? Peanut butter and agave instead of peanut butter and honey, your jam, your preserves, your pesto, which is fantastic in the panini, fantastic in the roasted vegetable sandwich, mustard. You could, tomato sauce can be there for an impromptu pita pizza, muhammara on my website, pâtés like potato and seed pâté. So those are your spreads, okay? And then the last one would be the topping. So that's, the lettuce, the shredded lettuce, shredded kale or shredded collard greens instead of just the lettuce, pickles, sprouts, cucumber slices, whatever else you want to add. So then what you'll do is you'll look at these columns and you'll go, oh, I'll take that bread and that topping and that filling and that spread, and I'll make my sandwich. And that way you can just kind of put it all together based on what's on that chart and what you have in your cupboard and in your fridge. Isn't that cool? So check out compassionatecooks.com in the resources section. I'm hoping to have this up soon. So I promise I will. But just take in everything else I'm saying before you go there and look at that chart. Now, we're going to move on to salads. And as I said, when we talk about salads, we're expanding the idea beyond our wonderful green salads, which are something I recommend. But I want to expand it and talk about pasta and grains and beans and all these other wonderful things. So the first salad I want to recommend is a corn salad. Probably not filling enough on its own, but certainly serve it with any of the sandwiches I just named above. You can use corn cut fresh from the cob, or you can use frozen or canned, kind of rinsed and drained if you use canned. Add some chopped red onions, some chopped bell pepper, some chopped sun-dried tomatoes, a little olive oil, some balsamic vinegar, and salt, and it's a fantastic salad, really easy. The second salad I want to recommend is a bread salad, which is really great for bread that's going a little stale. Now, even if it is, I still prefer to toast it first. Break apart this loaf of Italian bread or chop the bread up into little bite-sized pieces, and then combine the bread with chopped tomatoes, chopped cucumbers, seed and peel them first, chopped red onions, some minced garlic, some chopped basil, some chopped thyme, a few tablespoons of olive oil, some balsamic vinegar. Again, toss it. And you've got a great salad. Okay. Bean salad would be the third salad I recommend. You can use a combination of different canned beans or beans that you make from scratch. You can use one can of black, one can of white, one can of chickpeas, whatever you like. And combine those beans with fresh herbs and lemon juice and finely chopped red pepper or any kind of bell pepper, corn again, and some seasoned rice vinegar. That's all you need, and you've got a great bean salad. The other thing you can do too is that instead of the rice vinegar, even you can also use the rice vinegar if you do this, but you can just throw some salsa in with your favorite beans. Toss it all together, throw in some avocado, even throw in some cooked brown rice. Maybe it's leftover from the night before, and you've got a great hearty bean salad, okay? The fourth, ooh, I look like I messed up my numbering here. The fourth salad we have is the pasta salad, so I might not have 10 here. No, I think I still have 10. So the pasta salad would be number four, and you can't mess up a pasta salad. They're so easy. Pasta salads are really inexpensive. They travel really well, and there's so many different kinds of pasta out there these days. So even if you're not eating wheat or gluten, you can still find rice pasta or quinoa pasta at natural health food stores. So one quick pasta salad you can make is with penne pasta or bow tie pasta or wagon wheel, whatever kind of small little pasta you like, whatever shape you like or color. Add some chopped tomato, add some chopped or sliced kalamata or black olives, some chopped basil, again, some fresh herbs, just really just finish off any salad. A few cloves of garlic. Again, a couple tablespoons of olive oil, some fresh lemon juice, some red wine vinegar, and salt and pepper, and it's really great. And don't start complaining about having to chop all these vegetables. With this one, for instance, in your little food processor, you can throw in the olives, the basil, the garlic, and you can mince all that up together. So all you're doing then maybe is chopping the tomato. Big deal. I don't want to hear it. So stop complaining. So that's your one kind of pasta salad. Another pasta salad, you can do like your macaroni salad, right? Little macaroni elbows, chopped bell peppers, chopped carrots, chopped celery, and some eggless mayonnaise. If you don't want to use mayonnaise, you can make a creamy hummus or baba ganoush, and you can use that as your mayonnaise, okay? So that's another kind of salad. So number five would be a noodle salad, any kind of noodle salad you like. One of my favorite noodle salads is my, I think it's called chili infused soba noodle salad, something like that. It's also in the new cookbook. I think I have it somewhere on the site. I'm not sure. Basically, all it is soba noodles. Now, soba noodles are buckwheat noodles, okay? Now, buckwheat, ironically, is not made from wheat. But if you're gonna get commercial soba noodles, I do find that most soba noodles have whole wheat in them too because it helps the noodles bind better. So just check that out, or if you're wheat sensitive, just consider that. I also want to point out that I have seen some commercial soba noodles with egg whites or something in them. It's so annoying because it's like the last ingredient. Clearly, you don't need the eggs. There are plenty of soba noodles on the market that don't use eggs. So it's just one of those stupid ingredients. One of the things that I love is my little local grocery has green tea soba noodles. So you know that makes me really happy, not only because I love green tea, but because the noodles are really pretty. They're a really beautiful kind of olive green color. So what we have here is about 8 ounces of soba noodles, about a quarter cup of tamari soy sauce. You can vary all of these measurements. A few tablespoons of sesame oil, a few tablespoons or a couple tablespoons of seasoned rice vinegar, some chili oil, 1 or 2 tablespoons of chili oil, depending on how spicy you like it, chopped red bell pepper, or thinly slice it however you want it. So about a cup of chopped green onions, about a cup of chopped scallion, same thing. 2 carrots cut into matchsticks and 2 tablespoons of toasted sesame seeds. I like using black sesame seeds just because they are pretty and just adds a really nice color contrast. So that's my chili infused soba salad. Always a hit at every party. Every time we serve it, it's just a really hit. Anyone can do this really super fast and easy. Did I mention to cook the soba noodles first? Make sure you do that. It takes about 5 minutes to do. So I guess this would be number six then, looking at my numbering here. Number six would be the things I mentioned briefly above. I mentioned when I was talking about the fillings for your sandwiches in that column, I said the eggless egg salad. You've heard me talk about this before. So these are great salads to make. You've got an eggless egg salad, a better than tuna salad, which I know you've heard me talk about, better than chicken salad, and of course, potato salad. Now, the exact recipes are on my website. The eggless egg salad uses mashed, super firm, or extra firm tofu. The better than tuna salad uses chickpeas or garbanzo beans pulsed in a food processor. The better than chicken salad uses steamed tempeh, cubed. The potato salad uses potatoes. And the ingredients for each vary somewhat, but they all rely on the eggless mayonnaise. Like I said, the veggies, the mayonnaise, or the wildwood garlic aioli, and some finely chopped vegetables, walnuts in the case of the better than tuna. Really fantastic, fast and easy, so check those out. Number seven would be taco salad. I mentioned burritos, but don't forget about taco salad. It's another thing that's really easy. You can use beans or vegetarian chicken or tofu or tempeh as your base. So I usually saute some onions and then some tofu. And then I throw a packet of seasonings. You know those little packets of taco seasonings? Have I talked about these before? Or your own combination of spices like cumin and chili powder or cayenne, whatever you want. But there are those little packets. When I was growing up, we used these El Paso, which I think there's some kind of funky things in that one. So I'd recommend a more natural one. Berritos, Bearitos, is a brand that I see around a lot. But yeah, just a little packet of the taco seasoning and then some water. You heat it up and that's really fast. And you can bring that separate again. And you can bring tortilla chips to eat it with, or some tortillas, wheat tortillas or corn tortillas, or taco shells, hard or soft. And then bring the other components like some shredded lettuce and some tomatoes, and you've got a great taco salad. So, number eight is grain salad. And I'm going to do the same thing with the grain salads on my website that I just talked about with with the sandwiches. I'm going to have one column of the grain, like quinoa, couscous, brown rice, millet, bulgur, barley. Right, cooked, of course. And then you would pick from the second column, you would pick your vegetables. I'm going to have some chopped vegetable ideas. The third column would be a series of fruit, nuts, and seeds. You can pick those. And you don't pick one in each column, like you can vary it and pick a number of different elements from each column. And the one, two, three, fourth column would be your seasoning. So, your turmeric or curry powder or cardamom or fresh basil or fresh parsley, whatever would be your next column. And then the last one would be like a dressing of some kind, oil and vinegar or sesame oil with rice vinegar or your favorite salad dressing or salsa, whatever. And then you would again look at these little columns and go, oh, I want that from that column and that from that column and that from that column. And then you put it all together and you've got a grain salad and you're ready to go. Okay. There's also a guide that is there now on my website under resources, under cooking and nutrition info. There's a guide to grains and it has the ratio of grains to liquid as well as the cooking time. So check that out if you want some help there. Number nine is fruit salads. I think fruit salads are so underrated, but I'll tell you, if you just hand someone a banana or an apple, that's just not going to do it. But if you cut them up and give them a little fruit salad like that, if you cut up the banana and cut up the apple, people are so much more prone to eat it. You can sprinkle a little cinnamon on there, a little agave nectar. If you're taking apples on the go, just toss the chopped apple with some lime juice or lemon juice. And don't forget about that lemon zest too. That will make a really pretty presentation and it's really, really delicious. So whatever you do when you're taking fruit with you to work or to school, chop up the apples, make them cute or something, put them in shapes for kids that they're gonna like. But it's just so much more interesting than just an unpeeled banana. I don't want to eat a just give me a banana. There's nothing interesting about that. Okay, I would eat a banana. But apples, like that's why a lot of people see the apples returned, when the kids come home in their lunchbox, they still have the apple there. Make it exciting, make it fun. And that goes for you too as adults. And depending on the season, you can do a combination of strawberries and raspberries and pineapple and bananas, pluots, plums, peaches, I mean, whatever. The options are endless. So, fruit salad would be our number nine. And then number 10 would be our green salads. So just make them hearty. People give salads such a bad rap because they just act like they're not going to be filling enough. Well, you can just put tons of vegetables and beans and tofu, avocado and chopped vegetables, sunflower seeds, nuts, whatever you want to make them really hearty. And your favorite dressing, I would keep the dressing separate when you're on the go and put it together when you're ready to eat. Now, other ideas for lunches, just include leftovers. Whatever you made the night before will most likely translate well, including soups. Get a good thermos so that the soup will stay hot, or if you work in an office, you can just heat them up in the kitchen. I happen to be one of those people who loves leftovers. I prefer them room temperature, and certain things are really better the next day anyway, like curry or chili or even stir fry, lasagna. All those things can be eaten room temperature. You don't have to heat them up again. Indian dishes. I do like Indian dishes kind of heated up the next day, but lentils and beans and rice, they're great room temperature. And other things, you know, whatever pasta dish you had the night before, pasta with peanut sauce, baked ziti, something you can do really quickly in the morning, just heat up a little bit of tomato sauce with something like the field roast sausages. Hello, really delicious. Make some pasta really quickly, toss that all together, throw it in a container, and you've got a great lunch. Okay, and then we've got snacks and fruits, the most obvious snack. It's the healthiest snack. Nuts and seeds, you know, toast them first. It makes them delicious. Popcorn's a great snack. You can make a big old batch of popcorn the night before, and then you can just put them in little individual containers for a really good snack. Dried fruit, pita bread with hummus, vegetables with hummus or baba ganoush, pita bread with tabbouleh. That's one of the grain salads you can make. Trail mix, granola bars, dried cereal can be a snack. And then you can bring things like non-dairy yogurt, you know, with some granola and some fresh fruit as well. Applesauce, tortilla chips with salsa or guacamole, pretzels. Pretzels and that pumpkin butter I mentioned before go really well together. One of my favorite snacks is chickpeas, just chickpeas with a little bit of salt sprinkled on them. So either I make the chickpeas from scratch or I open up a can, I drain them and rinse them, and then I sprinkle some salt and some nutritional yeast, and you can eat them like popcorn. And they're delicious and so nutritious. And then you've got your bagged snacks. You know, there are healthier snacks there these days. I mean, there's a lot of crap out there, but you know, I have to say, one of my guilty pleasures is veggie booty. I don't know if you know about veggie booty, but veggie booty is made by Robert's American Gourmet and Ting's. Ting's are like those cheese puffs with but without that like horrible neon orange fake cheese, whatever the heck that is, and they're just really good. So my downfall, David knows, if I bring home like a bag of veggie booty, it's gonna be gone in one sitting. So this is my downfall. And they come in the big bags or the small bags. And chocolate bars are a great snack. My favorite chocolate bar is Equal Exchange, but there are a number of great fair trade vegan chocolate bars out there. And like I said, reduce waste as much as possible. Try to bring containers. Try to use compostables. Try and use cloth napkins, you know, a stainless steel water bottle that you can fill up instead of using plastic water bottles, individual water bottles. It's such a waste. You know, bringing real plates or like the compostable plates that I use in my cooking classes. Everybody who comes to my classes knows that we put plates and everything that people use during the cooking classes in these cornstarch bags. Everything I use in my cooking classes are made from cornstarch or potato starch, and then I bring them home and throw them in my city's compost bin. But you know, if you can use stainless steel forks and knives, then do that instead of even using the compostables. There's just so much we can do. One of the things I loved about Norma's email, Norma, who is one of our listener sponsors, is that she said when she was traveling and eating out with groups of people, and it was, you know, what could normally be a stressful situation, she said that it was like a game to her, and she used it as an opportunity to speak her truth. I love that. Every moment we have, everything we do, you know this, in every moment, with every purchase, in everything we do, we have the opportunity to speak our truth and live our truth and eat healthfully and eat compassionately. How exciting is it that we can do so much to make a difference in our own lives, in the lives of our loved ones, and in the lives of those who most desperately need our intervention by changing a few habits, changing a few thoughts, expanding our repertoires, expanding our hearts, we can create the world we all imagine. If not you, then who? If not now, then when? This is Colleen from Compassionate Cooks. Thanks for listening.